Praise God. How many loves the Lord?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to see everyone. Hello. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How many's happy?
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. It's so good to see everyone here. So good to see Mr. Tolly here. Amen. Met him a few months ago. So thankful that he's here. So thankful everyone's here. And so thankful for Miss Tolly. She baked me some brownies, and those were wonderful brownies. Thank you so much. Those were incredible. And thank you so much for your hospitality and your generosity. It means so much to me. Amen. All right. How many's ready for the word?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're going to be preaching mainly out of two passages here, Romans chapter 8, Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to be preaching on the Holy Spirit. It's what we've been preaching on every Sunday for the month of October. And that the Holy Spirit, we need to understand that the Holy Spirit is not an it, and the Holy Spirit is not a force. The Holy Spirit is a person. And the Bible says that Jesus would send us a comforter to guide us into all truth. How much truth? Into all truth. And that He is our comforter, He is our helper, and He is here to guide us into all truth, what we need to say, our conduct, in sanctification, living for Him. He is our helper. And I just want to let you know that a lot of times we try to put God in a box, whether it be a traditional box or a contemporary box, but I'm just here to tell you that the Holy Spirit has always been the Holy Spirit. God has always been God. And I know people have different methods of worship and different forms of worship. But listen, God is not traditional and He's not contemporary either. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 13:8 that He is the same what?
Yesterday,
today, and forever. So He's not traditional or contemporary. He's just God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So I don't really complain if there's hymn sung or if there's contemporary song sung. Because it's sung for the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know if that's the right grammar, but you know what I'm saying. It's for the Lord. So if it's for the Lord, then we need to deem it so. Amen.
Amen.
We do everything unto the Lord. And so I want to preach today on the Holy Spirit. Is He a person? Now, I believe most of us here, or if not most, all of us, believe that He is a person and not just a force or an it. But see, here's a statement you really need to take into consideration. If you don't see the Holy Spirit as a person, why would you talk to Him? Why would you talk to Him? The reason why some people think the Holy Spirit is a force or an it is because the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to listen very closely. Listen very closely. The Holy Spirit isn't His name. It's His description. Okay? It's not His name. It's His description. His name is God. God the Father. God the Son. God, the Holy Spirit. So His name is God. His function is to be the Spirit.
Yes.
Amen. That works in us. Did y'all catch that?
Yes.
Everybody say, teach it.
Teach it.
Used to be saying, preach it. Teach it. So a person, let me give you a definition of a person, right? A person has a personality, correct? Person has. Now, you would say, well, what defines a person? Well, you say, well, trees have life. Well, yeah, they have life, but you can talk to that tree all day long, and it's not going to talk back to you, I'm telling you. Talk to a tree, they have life, but that's not what defines a person. A person, the Bible, the biblical definition of a person is a person has a soul, right? A spirit, excuse me, let me start all over. Body, soul, spirit. Did y'all catch that? It's my body, my soul is my mind, will, and emotions. Okay, I want to get this in our spirit, and I'm going to ask you to repeat this. Everybody say mind, will, emotions. Mind, will, emotions. Now that is your soul. Body, soul, spirit. We're going to talk about the soul. Now, with your mind, you think. With your will, you desire. And with your emotions, you feel. Stay with me, all right? Now, if the Holy Spirit is a person who lives in you, God, the Holy Spirit who lives in you, if you want to know what God is thinking, why don't you ask the Holy Spirit who lives in you?
Amen.
Did y'all catch that? If you want to think like God, then maybe you need to talk to the Holy Spirit and ask Him. You with me? Who lives in you? to desire what he desires, mind, will, and emotion, and to feel what he feels. You mean God can feel? Yeah, I'll prove it to you with the scripture. Feel, he desires, he has a mind, will, and emotion. So the Holy Spirit has a mind. The Holy Spirit don't have a mind. Yes, he does. He has a mind. Everybody say, let's get into the Word. I believe that the Holy Spirit is trying to help us to do this like God. You have God living in you. Okay, number one, the Holy Spirit has a mind. John 16:13. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. John 16:13 says this. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. How much truth? All truth. Now, how can he guide you into all truth if he doesn't know, knowledge, know, all truth? Know, knowledge in your mind. So the Holy Spirit has the mind of God. He's God. Amen? So he knows all truth. Therefore, he can guide you into all truth. So he's omniscient, meaning he can be everywhere at the same time, right? He can be everywhere at the same time. But God has a mind, and he's so smart that you can't measure his IQ, his intellect quotient, intellectual quotient. You can't measure it. You can't measure his intelligence. Get this. God can never think of what he hasn't thought of before. Isn't that awesome? He's God. He knows all things. And isn't it interesting that instead of consulting the Holy Spirit, we consult other people, we consult these things. What about the God who lives in you? You can hear from God this morning. Amen. And I know there are theological persuasions out there that says God doesn't speak. He doesn't speak today. When he wrote the last book of the Bible back in AD 393, he stopped speaking. And now we just have his final word. Now listen, not degrading the word. We need the word. That is our standard and that is our measure. But the Bible says, God says this in John 10, my sheep know my voice. God speaks. God speaks today. God speaks to us all. And I tell you, if you're a minister today and you say, well, God doesn't speak today. God doesn't speak to you today. Well, how did you get called to preach? And you show me book, chapter, and verse where he called you. Are you with me? Amen. Not degrading the word, but you got to have the word and the spirit. Amen, church. Everybody say amen. Amen. All right. He's omniscient. He can be everywhere at the same time. He has a mind. Listen, you have someone who knows everything, who's living in you, who's committed to teaching you. Now, that blows me away. Someone who knows everything. He could tell you anything about anything, and he's committed to teaching you. And Jesus said that the Holy Spirit is here to teach you and to bring all things to your remembrance. This is why memorizing verses, doing everything from the mind alone is not good enough. You got to rely on the Spirit of God. You got to depend on God. Look at your neighbor and say, you got to depend on God. Okay. We just made the statement the Holy Spirit is not a force or an it. Listen, you'll never ask him for an answer if you think he's a force. You'll never talk to him. Why would you if you think he's a force? He's a person who lives in you if you're saved. Anybody saved here?
Amen.
Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit, he knows everything. Okay, number two, he has a will. Mind, will, emotion. Number two, he has a will. Acts 16:6. Acts 16:6. Now when they had gone through, excuse me if I don't pronounce this word right, Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden, get this, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Do you know what the word forbid, you know what that means? It means to exercise your will. How many has ever forbade your children? Right? And you took them to the other room to forbade them. Right? Forbid means to exercise. The Holy Spirit, listen, you got to be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, we all know, now later, later the Holy Spirit had them to go where they was going to preach. But it was the wrong timing. They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit. I wonder how many times we need to be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Listen, if you want to know God's will for your life, you need to get to know God. It's too simple, Pastor. It's just too simple. To know God's will for your life, you just need to know God. Don't get in His presence and start asking for, I need direction. No, get to know Him. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit, right? Fellowship with Him. Everybody say fellowship. I really wanted to watch the Tennessee game at 3:30 yesterday. And I was really, man, I really had it my plan. I am keeping this appointment. I'm keeping this appointment and I'm watching the game. And I'm tired of things coming up, keeping me from watching the Tennessee game. All four quarters. It's a terrible game. But I'm still a Vol fan. But notice how committed I was in keeping that appointment. Notice how committed. You with me? How committed are you in keeping your appointments with the Holy Spirit? In fellowship, in getting direction, and getting to know Him. We set appointments for everything else, but we don't set appointments for God. The man who knows everything. Who knows all things. Who can guide us into all truth. Who can bring all things to our remembrance. We keep doctor's appointments. We keep all kinds. Y'all know what I'm saying. But we don't set an appointment to meet with God. And man, I was ready to see Tennessee game. I'm going to Justin and April's house, and I'm going to watch the game. That's how committed we need to be in meeting with God in our quiet time. When we were worshiping the Lord earlier in the service, a thought hit me. It hit me, you know, literally. Hit me, and it was the Lord saying, your private worship needs to be proportionate with your public worship. Because it's easy to get around a lot of people and everybody's praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And that's good. Listen, we're called to do that corporate worship. But how much do we keep our appointments with God to worship Him when it's just you and Him? Listen now, there's an intimacy you don't have when you don't meet with Him alone. Now, you can get close to the Lord in public worship. We come together, we grow in the Lord. But there's something you can't get in public worship that you can get in private worship. Now, you need to write that down, and you need to put that in your notes, and you really need to take note of that. Because if you don't worship God in private, I'm telling you, if you don't worship God in private, you're going to miss out on the intimacy that God has for you with Him. And the reason why people don't know God's voice, and the reason why they don't know His promptings and they don't know His leading, is because they don't meet with Him in private. Amen. And you've got to meet with God alone. That is where you'll find intimacy with Him, and you'll be more familiar with His voice. Listen, come to church on Sunday morning for 2 hours. That's good. We need it. We've got to have that. But if you don't meet with God alone, you're missing out on some fellowship that you can't get with other people. You with me? Amen, amen, church. Amen. Amen. So, number one, God has a mind. Number two, God has a will. The Holy Spirit has a will. Okay, there's the general will of God, and then there's the specific will of God. We just read right here, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Okay, the general will is known by God's word. The specific will is known by His voice, known by His Spirit. Okay, let me give you some examples. If you want to know how to marry, you can find it in God's word. But if you want to know whom to marry, it's by His voice. It's by prayer, right? What house to get, how to discipline your children, right? It tells us how, but there is a specific plan that God has, and He wants to teach us how to live life. Listen, thank God for salvation. He saved us from hell. Hallelujah. But God wants to teach us how to live the Christian life. Not only that, but He wants to hang out with us. And He wants to fellowship with us. And He wants to have a daily conversation with us. He's a person, guys. And He knows all things. And He's committed to teaching us everything. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that's pretty good. God, the God of the universe living inside of me, committed to teaching me everything that I need to know about my life. We've done preached. We've already had church this morning. The Holy Spirit. Everybody say, thank God for His Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Okay, the Bible tells us how to pray. Our Father, Jesus said, pray in this. I preached it Wednesday night. Our Father, He said, pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Know how to pray. But let me tell you something. None of you know what to pray. You don't know what to pray. How dare you make a statement like that? I've been saved for years and years, and you can't tell me that? Okay? Romans chapter 8. You don't know what to pray. Romans chapter 8. And we'll start at verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. All right. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Okay, I just showed you scripture right here. We don't know what we should pray for as we ought. But God Himself prays for us. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings. It's not in English, is it? With groanings which cannot be uttered. Okay, next verse. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind, the Spirit has a mind, what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He's a person, people. He's a person. He lives here to teach you. Okay, go to the verse before that. Okay, now he who searches, likewise the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Okay, you have to know the person who lives in you, the Holy Spirit, in order for you to know the will of God. Do you know we live in an amazing time that the Bible says that all Christians, all believers, all can hear from God? I could show you in scriptures in the Old Testament where only one person could hear from God. And between the book of Malachi and the book of Matthew, there was 400 years where no one heard the voice of God. Could you imagine nobody hearing from God for 400 years? And then God sent His Son. And then people actually seen the Word. They just didn't hear it, but they seen the Word. For 400 years. And now we live in an awesome time where we can access the presence of God and we can actually hear the voice of God. Isn't that amazing? We have Him living in us. Now listen, I can hear God with you, but not for you. Now, you can come to me for counsel and advice, but I'm not going to hear God for you. I'm not Moses. You with me? I'm not that kind of guy. I'm not that kind of guy. I'm not that kind of guy that opens the door. What's your confession today? Okay? The Holy Spirit, God Himself, prays for you. He's teaching you and He's praying for you. Woo. Isn't that amazing? And He's here to pray through us because we have no idea what we need to pray for. And He teaches us. We have to rely upon the Holy Spirit. Now listen, I can hear God with you but not for you. You can't have a personal relationship with someone through someone else. Someone comes to you, ask your wife, hey, would you ask my wife if she'd like to go on vacation? Hey, would you tell my kids to quiet down? And we all expect to have a relationship with God through another person, through a human. But He's a person who has a mind, who has a will, who has emotions, who thinks, who desires, who feels. Wow. And we can have a relationship with Him. And many people do this in their walk with God. They go to somebody else and they don't even realize that they can actually contact God at that moment, at that time, and they could call upon the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Okay, a person loves. A person has joy. A person has peace. These are characteristics of a person. He loves, and he's loving through us, showing joy through us, showing peace through us. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. You say, all right, prove to us the Holy Spirit has a mind. You prove to us the Holy Spirit has a will. I'm going to prove to you the Holy Spirit has feelings. Y'all ready? Amen. Ephesians 4:30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Grief is an emotion. It's an emotion. It's a feeling. Joy is an emotion. Joy and grief are emotions. So what is it that grieves the Holy Spirit? Y'all ready? You want me to tell you what grieves the Holy Spirit? Go to verse 25 in that chapter. And we'll read this together. This is what grieves the Holy Spirit. Lying. Lying grieves the Holy Spirit. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Next one. Be angry. Be angry and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your wrath. When you go to bed and you're not forgiving and you're still angry, you're letting anger build, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. You're grieving. That's what that is. And some wise man told me, he said, if you get mad at your spouse and you stay mad at them when you go to bed, that's not a good thing. He said you need to work it out. You need to solve it. You need to get it out of the way. You need to solve it. Okay, next verse. Nor give place to the devil. It says, let him who stole steal no longer. Okay, what else grieves the Holy Spirit? Stealing. But rather let him labor, working with his own hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Next one. Okay, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Boy, that hits us all, doesn't it? I know sometimes, you know, slip up like a slip, right? And sometimes we say things. It doesn't have to be a cuss word for it to be bad. Do you hear me? Right? You could talk about people, gossip, whatever it is, backbiting. If you have words that is not edifying, look here, but what is good for necessary edification, to build you up, that's what that means, that it may impart grace to the hearers. If what you're saying, if what's coming out of your mouth is not imparting favor to those who are hearing you and it's not building them up, you're grieving the Holy Spirit. You're making them grieve. Next verse. Okay, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Next verse. And let all bitterness, look here, bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor. Do you know what clamor means? Loud arguing. That's what that means. When you argue real loud, when you have evil speaking, look, malice. That malice means that you enjoy seeing people suffer. You're grieving the Holy Spirit. Next verse. And you know what? What is the fruit of the Spirit? Kindness. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. The Holy Spirit can feel. And you can grieve the Holy Spirit with sin. Now, I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about losing your intimacy with the Lord. Are you with me, church? Grief. This is what grief is. Do you know what grief is? It's a sadness you feel when you lose intimacy with a person. As in the case of a loved one who's gone on, you feel a grief. It's an emotion. Now, that's the way it is with the Holy Spirit. When you sin and you continue, it grieves the Holy Spirit. It grieves Him, and you lose that intimacy with Him, and you don't have that connection with Him. Okay? That's what grief is. We grieve the Holy Spirit with lying, stealing. We just read it, right? We just read those verses. We can actually grieve Him. He has feelings. He has emotions. We need to ask the Lord so we can hear Him more clearly. Now, when it comes to ministering, we want the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Tell me what you want me to tell this person. But when it's about a sin, or if it's about something we shouldn't be doing, we don't want to hear it. You with me, church? We don't want to hear that because it's a problem. We just keep on doing, We want to hear God when it comes time to minister. But when it comes to us, when it comes to a thing that's in our lives, I'm not condemning anybody. I don't preach guilt messages. I preach grace messages. But I'm telling you, you can have a connection with the Lord when you confess those sins, whatever it is. Could be one sin. Whatever it is, only you and God know. And you can actually grieve the person of the Holy Spirit in your life. And you wonder, man, I just don't feel. I wonder why I don't feel God. I wonder why there's something wrong. I'm not saying it is, but could it be a certain sin in your life that may be a secret? Maybe I don't know what it is that's keeping you from getting that intimacy with the Holy Spirit, that's keeping you from getting that intimacy with God. You with me? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. When we do these things, we can actually make Him sad. And that's the same way it is. Even with like a death of a lost loved one, right? Of a loved one, we get that grief in our hearts, in our souls, because we don't have that connection anymore, right? That's the way it is with the Holy Spirit. So I'm here to tell you, if there's something there in your life, you say, Pastor, why do you have to preach that way? Now you put us all on the spot. You put us all on the spot now. Listen, we are here to help each other, and we're here to edify each other, right? We're here to be tenderhearted. We're here to be kind. We're here to forgive one another. But listen, if you come to the altar today, I'm telling you the truth. If you come up here today, God will set you free. Amen. Whatever it is, God will set you free. I don't care what it is. If it's something that's hindering your walk with God, He'll set you free today. He'll help you. Listen, freedom is a road. Bondage is a road too. You didn't just fall in one day. It took a while for you to get into that whatever it is. Habit, whatever. It's a road. And what happens is when people come to the Lord, they think, well, why isn't it instant? Listen, God, whom the Son has set free, is truly free indeed. You're free, but freedom is a road, guys. Yes. Bondage is a road. You know what? You're traveling. You travel the road to bondage, right? You kept traveling the road. Well, you gave your heart to God. You said, God, I give this to you. I want intimacy with you. I want to be close to you. You know what you do? You turn back on the same road. And you're making your way back to intimacy with God. Freedom is a road. Bondage was a road too. But when you give it to God, you turn right around on that same road. And you're going back to God. And this is why you can't judge people. And you can't make judgments on people. And you've got to be merciful. And you've got to be graceful. And I've seen the church really mess up on that, where they'd see people didn't really understand. They never been in their shoes. Hello. Never been there. Right? It's a road, and I'm here to tell you, if you'll give it to God this morning, if you'll come to God this morning, He'll set you free. Now, it doesn't mean that you won't have any temptations. It doesn't mean that you won't get tempted again, but you'll be set free. And He'll do it, because the Holy Spirit loves you, and He's kind. And He's here to not just to convince us. Remember what we preached last week? He's not here just to convince us of our sin. But He's here to convince us of our righteousness in Christ Jesus. That's what He's here for. If you come today, God, if you come today, God will start the process. He will start the process of freedom. And you can be free today. Let's all stand. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the freedom you have for us to offer. Lord, we want to be real. We want to be authentic. Lord, we don't want to go through the motions. We don't want to be fake about these things. Lord, we want to be real. We put it all out on the table. And Father, we call upon your name. Father, if there's any individual in here, if this message spoke to them, Holy Spirit, I ask you to draw them so they can lay it out on the table too and ask you to touch their lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Come. If the Holy Spirit is drawing you, come as we worship the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, stay. I need to feel your fire. I need to feel your rain. Holy Spirit.